In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and grace to make this time of prayer. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father, my guardian angel, intercede for me. We're having this meditation on the eve of the Solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. And in the Gospel that comes in the Mass, the Gospel from the first chapter of St. Luke tells us that the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph. And the virgin's name was Mary. He went in and said to her, "Rejoice, so highly favored, the Lord is with you." Well, perhaps we're more familiar with the greeting, "Hail, full of grace," which is more traditional translation, and more accurately perhaps conveys is signified by this feast of the Immaculate Conception, special privilege that Our Lady had and has of being full of grace from the very first instant of her conception. Now, traditionally again, many Catholics, I don't know if we could say most Catholics, have had a tendency to confuse the conception of Jesus, which is what is taking place here. So Mary conceived Jesus by the work of the Holy Spirit. But the feast relates not to this event, but to Mary's own in the womb. Mother. And so from the very first moment of Mary's existence, the very first instant that she came into existence, she was free from original sin. The whole of mankind suffers from the effects of the sin of Adam. Adam, who was created in a state of friendship with God, and who had a particular gift, which is sometimes called the gift of integrity, which in this context means that his mind and his will had perfect control over his senses, over his impulses, over his emotions, senses and feelings and all those things. So his lower emotions wouldn't get the better of him, of his mind or of his will. There was that balance there. But with sin, his relationship with God was destroyed. So he had been son of God, and that relationship of filiation was destroyed. The friendship with God was destroyed. And also, this gift of integrity was lost. And what it leads to, and what we all experience in ourselves, is something called concupiscence, which is this disorder that is caused by the fact that we do sometimes allow an inversion of things, so that our lower faculties overrule our reason and our will. So we have this tendency to fall, a propensity to fall. We have an inherent weak, and we have inherited, we might call it, a perverse attraction to evil, to sin. But with the fall also came a promise, and this is hinted at in the first reading of the Mass, which is from Genesis, which tells us that after Adam had eaten of the tree, and the Lord God went to look for him and to say, "What have you done?" And he said, "It was a woman you put with me. She gave me the fruit, and I ate it." And the Lord God asked the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman replied, "The serpent tempted me, and I ate." And the Lord God curses the serpent, and he says to Adam and Eve that they will be the enemies of the serpent. The serpent will be the enemy of the woman. You, the serpent, and the woman, your offspring and her offspring, it will crush your head and you will strike its heel. So there is a promise of a redemption that hidden in those words is the promise that through the woman, I mean, we understand it now more clearly, in light of Our Lady and her role in redemption. So through the woman, the devil's head will be crushed by the woman or by the offspring of the woman. So the significance of the Immaculate Conception is that Our Lady was born, was conceived without the loss of that friendship with God and without the loss of that gift of integrity. So Our Lady had a special grace by which she was free from concupiscence. She was free from feeling the attractiveness of sin. You know, that's the strange thing that we carry around with us. You know, we think that sin is somehow attractive until we commit sin and then we discover it wasn't. But Our Lady was prepared in a special way because in this redemptive plan of God, since in some way the woman had been responsible for the fall, bringing about the fall, so through a woman the redemption would come about. So Mary was made in such a way that she would be able to conquer the devil, just as the devil had conquered through Eve. Now, this was something that was always believed in the church, but it wasn't defined as a dogma until the year 1854, when Pope Pius IX said, "We declare, announce, and define that the doctrine which states that the Blessed Virgin Mary was preserved in the first instant of her conception by a singular grace and privilege of God omnipotent, and because of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Saviour of the human race, free from all stain of original sin, is revealed by God and must therefore be believed firmly and with constancy by all the faithful." Well, that's quite a long sentence, but anyway, the sentence is here that this doctrine, which everybody had believed anyway, is now to be believed formally by everyone who is a Catholic. And to be a Catholic, we need to believe this. And we're told from a history that was written around that time that when this dogma was declared, the Catholic world cried out with joy. The canons of Castel Sant' Angelo, which is next to the Vatican, where the pontifical flag still waved in Rome's brilliant light, fired and announced the glad news to the world. All over the world, the faithful proclaimed their joy. In many big cities, homes were spontaneously decked with banners and illuminated with candles lanterns. So the whole Catholic world rejoices at this confirmation that Mary has been created perfect and without the least trace, not even for a tiny fraction of a second. No sin touched her soul at all. She was never, even for an instant, under the power of the devil. And so Mary is all beautiful, just pure beauty. There's nothing, there's no stain in her. There's the poet Wordsworth, who calls her our tainted nature's solitary boast. So human nature can boast of Mary because she is perfect, she is without sin, she is immaculate. And she's created immaculate because she has to play this role in the redemption by Jesus Christ. And so from the very outset, she is perfect in everything, perfect in her love. She shows perfect love in everything she does. She prepares perfect preparation for Jesus. She is to be his perfect helper throughout his mission. And the wonder of wonders, I suppose you could say, is that Jesus has given her to us to be our mother as well. And we might say just as well, because we do experience that concupiscence. We do experience what Pope Benedict on one occasion described as a drop of poison within us. And this is how he spoke about the effects of original sin. Although we are baptized and the sin is washed away, nevertheless, our human nature still suffers the consequences in terms of this weakness and this tendency to be attracted to what is wrong, to what is sinful. We carry a drop of poison within us, and it makes us think that somehow sin might be good in some circumstances. You know, that I try to live a good life, but to be good all the time is boring. You know, we might tell ourselves that we need to spice our lives up a little bit. And therefore, we think that sin might provide that variety we need. But in fact, we discover it's a deception, because when we go down the path of sin, we realize it doesn't bring happiness. It just brings bitterness and sorrow and regret. And you know, we end up kicking ourselves, especially those who become hardened in sin or really kind of prisoners of sin. They start off thinking, I'm free to do what I like, I'm not going to be held back by any rules, and they go down the path of sin and they say, it's my choice, I can do anything I want. But in fact, what they are doing is becoming prisoners of sin. You might remember, or perhaps you might read during the run-up to Christmas, the Dickens story about the Christmas Carol and Scrooge and the various ghosts that appear to him. The first ghost, as I recall, is that former business partner, Jacob Marley. And Jacob Marley appears with this huge chain attached to his leg that goes on and on and on and on. And he explains that this is the chain that I forged in my life, link by link, with all the sins and misdeeds that made me a prisoner. There's quite a well-known moral theologian who talks about what freedom is, and we think about the freedom of Our Lady to respond to the will of God, so that whenever she was asked anything, anything, as in the gospel, she's asked to be the mother of God, she freely responds. She does the will of God instantly. She doesn't have to think about it or take time. She has that ability to do the right thing immediately because she has that freedom. Whereas we lack the freedom to do the right thing very often, don't we? You know, we might think, you know, it's time to get up, but I'm not free because these blankets are very heavy and sleep is very profound and I'm tired and, you know, there's all kinds of things that are stopping me from doing what I should be doing or my work. You know, sometimes I find I'm captive to curiosity